Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. John Shannon and Lannon Ferraro. Lannon, every time we do these shows, the Canucks are on the road. I mean, it's crazy, you know, how many road games this hockey club has had. But I've got to ask you, as a player, you hear NHL insiders talk about letters going from the Canucks to 31 other teams. You hear and see quotes from the president of hockey operations, Jim Rutherford, talking about getting younger. How much do you think of that information out there is for the other managers, and how much of it is for your actual team?
I mean, it's for everyone when you put it out like that, right? Like you're kind of spraying the shotgun there, making sure that everyone gets a little piece of it and understands where the organization's at and where the management group sees it. And it's definitely a way to make sure the other teams know that you're open for business while giving your team a very clear indication that, you know, you're not happy with how the year has started. And regardless of injuries or things like that, it's a business that needs wins and it needs a way through the future. And, you know, as a player, you're never happy when that stuff happens, but it's also not happy because you know you're the ones playing, and as much as you're trying, the results haven't been there, and you don't want to be the guy that goes, but at the same time, you kind of understand it. Like, you hear it all the time. It's the game is a business at this level, and when things aren't going right, you don't just keep trying to do the same thing over. There's changes that are going to be made.
Would you talk to your teammates about it, or is it something that you would just privately think about, but not, you know, whether it's on the bus or whether it's on the plane or whether it's in the room? Would somebody turn and say, did you read what Jimmy said in the paper?
Oh, it would definitely be flowing through the room pretty freely at that point. When it's that out in public, and not even, you know, it's not like they were trying to kind of hide behind a different statement. Like, it was just, this is where we're at, and this is the state of things. Of course the guys are going to be talking about it. I mean, it's their careers, it's their lives, it's their personal lives, that if they're the ones that the one that gets picked to be moved, well, you know, if you're not a single guy, like, you got to move your entire family. There's lots to go into it. So, I mean, it goes back to something that, you know, I was told very young, going from junior to pro, and that is, every night that you're playing, regardless of who you're signed with and playing for, like, you're constantly auditioning for, well, now 31 other teams. Everyone's always watching, and you don't know what's going to happen. You know, maybe, you know, you're in the last year of your deal, and yeah, you're playing as hard as you can for your team. You want to win. You want to go as far as you can. But if you're not going to get signed back there, you need to make sure that you've put together a good resume. So for the older guys, it's about making, whether they're the one, you know, sitting there saying, I do not want to go anywhere, or maybe they are open to it. They're trying to make sure they're playing well so they can be positioned well. For the young guys, you know, I would say that talking about it with teammates, it's a lot of, oh, I can't believe the different statements and things like that. But in the back of your own mind, you see opportunity. And, you know, if older guys are going to get shipped out, well, those spots are going to have to be filled. Mm-hmm. That's more of a chance. You want to make sure that, you know, like a Carlson right now that's been on a bit of a good stretch. Well, he's positioned himself really well. If they need someone to move up in the lineup because of a trade or two, well, maybe it's him.
So we are going to talk to one of the young guys in this organization, Victor Mancini, who is presently playing for Abbotsford, has played with the Canucks, was part of the Calder Cup championship team in the American League last spring. We're also going to talk to Marcus Pettersson. about some of his experiences already in Vancouver. Truth be told, the Pettersson interview was actually done a week ago and mysteriously got lost in the cloud. And we've been able to reclaim at least 15 or 16 minutes of it to talk to Marcus about a few things. Unfortunately, part of the interview did not get salvaged, but it was our decision to play what we did have because I think Marcus comes across, Landon, as somebody who is mature, responsible, and really happy to be playing in Vancouver, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the interview was really good. He's a really engaged and honest person. Like he's going to give you a really solid answer. So I mean, it was a really good interview. I'm happy that we were able to save some of it. It is disappointing that the part of him saying that like I was his favorite player and like
I don't recall that
after that got cut.
I don't recall that part.
Yeah, your screen kind of clipped out a little too at that point.
Well, I tell you what, we caught up with Victor Mancini in Tucson, where Abbotsford is playing this weekend, and Marcus Pettersson, one of the three Petterssons on this Vancouver Canucks hockey team. And our first question to Marcus was about the progress of young Tom Velander and what he means to this hockey club.
What's he like in the room? Like, you know, I've been in and out for morning skates and stuff. He talks to the media really well. He's engaged. But when I see him kind of just around you guys, he's got a big smile on his face a decent amount of times. Like, is he a talkative kid, or is he kind of picks his places a little bit?
He's a little bit of talkative. You know, you get more comfortable as you go on too, right? It's tough coming in the locker room first few days and not really knowing your place. So he's settling in. You know, he's, like I said, like you said, he's got a smile on his face all the time and happy-go-lucky kid. And like I said, he's a sponge. He wants to learn. He asks a lot of questions and stuff like that. And same with DPD. I mean, they're good guys and they want to learn a lot. And you can tell they want to be in this league for a long time. And so, yeah, I mean, Wielander, he's the same. He's got a smile on his face. You can tell, like, he's getting more and more confident. He's a confident kid. And so he's a funny guy.
Okay, so now he had the advantage of coming to North America and playing at BU for a couple of years from a culture perspective.
Yeah.
You didn't do that when you went to Anaheim. Was there a culture change? Is there that much of a culture change playing in Sweden and then coming to the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I think it is. But at the same time, you know, when you grow up in Sweden, you I played for the same organization my whole life, right? So I got to play senior hockey with men. I think that helped a lot coming over. But for sure, like culture-wise, living far away from home, you know, it is different. And, you know, the game is totally different with the small rink and big rink. So, you know, there's for sure an advantage to that. But, yeah, I think.
Probably more influences outside of the rink.
Lifestyle. Oh, yeah.
When you're playing for the Ducks and they say we're going to Newport Beach, that's a little different than going to, you know, going to Stockholm, isn't it?
Yeah, it is for sure. It's, I mean, I started my career in San Diego and that's a pretty good city to start off in. You know, you're like, you play hockey in these places, but yeah, just like outside of hockey, like, going to a grocery store or whatever, driving a car around, you know, it's very different from a small town in Sweden. And I think you live as you learn,
right?
Or you learn as you live, I should say. You know, you kind of get thrown out there. And you know, I've grown accustomed to it now. My family has too. And so I mean, the team always helps with that too. Like you can lean on guys to help you outside the rink and stuff like that. And I think our young guys are good at that. You know, we got a lot of young guys where they have each other too, right? Like some guys in a hotel for a lot of the year, like I was too. And when you have a few guys that are with you, it helps for sure, rather than being alone.
Sorry, John, I got to ask before we move on. You brought up San Diego. When you were there, because you were younger too, did you ever end up at the bar on Pacific Beach that had the goldfish races in it? Was that there?
Maybe it was. I don't know. I didn't stay at the beach. It was a long time ago. I'm
kidding. Yeah.
I was of age when I moved over to San Diego a few months in, but I can't really remember. But you know, San Diego was a great great city and I am too, and great organization for me to come in, and a lot of Swedes there too, so that always helps, like talking about the young guys here. When you have a lot of people from the same nation, it kind of helps culture wise too. So
well, it doesn't hurt that Daniel and Henrik are around too.
Sorry, Lando.
Yeah.
Well, I just know when I was with Iowa, we went and played games there, and we had a full day off. And before we found this one place, we go, oh, we'll go in here. They had goldfish races, these big tubes through the whole bar. I think we ended up staying for about 6 hours. It turned lunch into dinner pretty quick.
Yeah. No, it's a great city.
You touched on earlier on about, you know, being a veteran guy and helping the kids out. When you were starting, whether it be in Anaheim or later on in Pittsburgh, were there a couple of veteran defensemen that helped you out, or defenseman players that helped you out as to acclimatize to your new teams?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in Anaheim, even San Diego, we had a little bit of an older team in San Diego with a lot of veterans that had been around the league, named Eric Fair, for example.
Sure.
Pitt and Wash and
Dallas Aikens loved Eric Fair, so that he was almost like an assistant coach.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, in Anaheim, you know, Bieksa, Boschman, a couple of Swedes in Anaheim too that really helped me a lot, like Raquel and Lindholm and Silverberg there. So and then in Pitt, obviously, there's great leadership there. And you know, with Crosby and Letang helped me a lot when I came over. And so there's for sure like guys that stick out there. You're like, you listen to as much as you can, trying to pick their brains on everything really.
And you know, like that doesn't really end from when you're, for a lot of guys, like when you're a rookie and learning from guys and you know, the ones that stay in the league for a long time are continually picking things up off of other players.
Yeah.
Not that you're going to turn into Quinn Hughes, but, you know, like he's got, you know, like 10 assists in his last three. I brought it up last podcast. I'm like, he's got more points in three games than I had in an entire year. And Tyson Berry was quick to remind me no one was comparing me to Quinn. But, you know, like when you have a guy like that, you know, is your team leader, and especially on the back end, like what, other than the obvious that all of us see every single game, like what makes him so different? I know that's such a big blanket thing, but in your eyes, like what is it that you see that you're like, I haven't seen someone work at this or do that in the weight room, whatever it may be?
No, just his raw ability, I think speaks for itself. I don't think I need to go into that. You know, his cutbacks and his edges, you know, when he cuts back and stuff, you're thinking, oh, maybe he doesn't have him here. He might fall, and then boom, he goes the other way. So I think that speaks for itself. But you know, just coming over here, you know, you see him play 29, 30 minutes every night, and the drive that he has, you know, he wants to win so bad. And that was really impressive to see with him. Like every shift he's out there, he wants to be the best player. Every time, every single second, and that drive I've seen, like playing with great players like Crosby and stuff like that, you know, like those players are step over everybody else where it's like they expect to score every shift. And, you know, it's kind of like a Formula One driver where it's the mindset is really like, oh, I didn't win today. It must have been the car's fault. You know, like they expect to win, you know what I mean? So that drive that he has was really sticking out for me. And, you know, he's a young guy still, right? But he's been a captain for a few years now. And that's really impressive to me. And he is a good leader. And You know, that competitive spirit, he brings everybody with him, and you know, he's a guy that wants everybody on his back, and he leads by example.
Okay, so here's the hard-hitting question. There's Pettersson, Pettersson, and Pettersson. What do you call each other? You guys obviously call him DPD?
Junior, most of the part.
Junior? Junior. So what do you call Elias then?
He'd be 40. He is Petey.
Petey.
Here first, so he's Petey. I usually, most guys call me Marcus.
Okay.
My mom used to calls me Mark. Like, my mom says Marcus. That's been in my
life. Your mom's not in the dressing room.
Exactly. So. It feels like it when everybody calls me Marcus again.
Were you Petey everywhere else?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. It's just your mom that calls you Marcus, like, did it take a minute to get just okay or like used to it, but okay.
So formal, if you will. Yeah. No, but it.
That means you were in trouble, actually. You were just trouble.
Exactly. No, but it's funny because it's actually I thought about it the other day. It's my third time in my career that I played with three Petterssons on the team. Second time. So in Sweden, I played with Petey, EP40's big brother, and another guy named Adam Pettersson. It's my second time in my career. So that's a pretty fun fact.
Now I know. So when everybody's talking Petey, we're really talking about Elias. And when we're talking Junior, we're talking Elias, and you're just Marcus.
Yeah. I'm just Marcus. Yeah. I didn't know I heard that, just a few days ago, that it was a difference between Elias and Elias.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out myself. Yeah, that's why I'm asking the question. So
yeah, no, maybe we'll have to call them by their second names.
that'd be really helpful. I know the difference, and I still mess that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single time.
Yeah, we maybe about the end of the year we have something to figure out.
Yeah, and maybe by that point you can come up with your own new nickname. Yeah, exactly. Like, just create one out. Wait, create your own.
Yeah, somebody's going to do something something silly, and it's going to stick, probably.
There you go.
Weren't you a good basketball player?
I was. I played a little bit on the middle school team. Like, I got a couple tournaments in, but basketball wasn't really that big in my hometown. No. So, you know.
Handball would have been bigger, right?
Handball was big, but not in my hometown. I think my hometown, it was all hockey. But handball is big in Sweden. I grew up watching. I still watch when it's the Euros or the World Championships in handball. I think Sweden's pretty good in handball. But handball, floorball was pretty big.
What's that?
Floorball. Have you seen floorball?
No. Yeah.
You play with it looks like a wiffle ball.
Okay.
And you play on an inside gymnastic ball with a plastic stick.
Okay, so it's
five on five. It's kind of like hockey rules. 5-on-5. You got a goalie.
Yeah. But you guys call it floorball.
Floorball. Yeah.
Okay.
It's that different stick though, right? It's like with the plastic bottom plastic, with like the lines through it,
holes in it.
Yeah.
But those guys are like a lot of hockey players too. Play that and. You know, when we played street hockey, we used to play with those wiffle balls and stuff, a plastic bag in them so they didn't bounce.
Yeah.
And with the floorball sticks. We didn't play with hockey sticks and tennis balls or pucks or whatever. We played with floorballs and floorball sticks.
How much did those balls hurt though when it got a little cold?
Yeah. If they get heavy too when you stuff a plastic bag in them.
So when you're not at the rink and you're not traveling, like for instance, you after the Dallas game on Thursday, you don't play until Sunday. What would you do on your off day in Vancouver?
Well, just hang out with my family now. You know, like I've got a 2.5-year-old, or it turns 3 in February, so we got our hands full with that. So we try to get out. You know. I think the nature here in the city, I think there's a bunch of stuff to do, and you can go walk at the beach or go for a walk in Stanley Park or whatever. I think we try to do that. We get out with our kid and go to a playground, play some soccer in the park or whatever. So, I think since we came over here, we stayed in Olympic Village last year when we came over, and you know, that area is beautiful. And, so I think the city has been great to us as a family, and you know, so we, like I said, we got our hands full at home, so just hang out with the little guy.
And like, I saw you and your family at the aquarium pretty quickly after you got traded to Vancouver last year. I was there with my son. What's been the activity? Like, you bring up going to the beach, or what's been the new favorite activity recently? Have you got to Science World yet?
Hey, we have gone to Science World. Like I said, we stayed in the Olympic Village when we came over last year. So that was a hot commodity. We got a membership there. So we still go there from time to time. We found some activities with him where it's, you know, like playing sport ball or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there's
those sport ball classes are good.
Yeah, they're great. You know, he loves sports. You know, like, we came home yesterday. We've been gone for a week, and he wants to play hockey right away in the living room or whatever. So it's a lot of fun. You know, like I said, we have our hands full, and he's a very active kid that loves sports. So I'm not complaining. I love sports too. So no, but just finding a park or whatever, I think there's so many stuff to do, but Science World, and it's been a fun activity for us.
How difficult, or maybe it isn't, but how difficult is with a young family when this team goes on such long road trips?
Yeah, it is tough. You know, like, I was in Pittsburgh for a long time, and very different travel. You know, you're in and out all the time, and shorter travel, right? So it is different. You know, when you're away, it's tough, but when you're home, you get a little bit longer home stance and get some more quality time at home. And so it's, there's pros and cons with both travel schedules, right? But you know, thank God for FaceTime. So
yeah. Now, did you become a Steelers fan? Seriously, when you're Pittsburgh?
I was a little bit, yeah. Not a huge Steelers fan, but I was. If you would ask one team, it'd probably be them.
Yeah.
But I'm a fantasy football fan.
Are you?
I don't follow a team. I follow my players on the fantasy football.
You're a typical NFL fan then. That's exactly, what you are.
Exactly. All right.
What was it about Vancouver after you got here last year that, like, was it solely the hockey, or was it the city and everything, kind of the full package, that made you want to sign a 6-year deal so quick after getting here last year?
Yeah, I think it's the full package. I think for me, coming here, you can sense the familiarity with a lot of people in the organization that I was with in Pittsburgh. So that was for sure a big factor. And just looking at the team, we have a lot of good young players. You know, we're getting there. We're getting close, and we're still a young team, I think. And so that was one thing. And then obviously the city, you know, I've only been here as a visitor, and you know, what the city has to bring, and the different cultures that the city brings. I think it's great. You know, Canada as a country is a little bit more similar to Sweden in a way. So that helped too. But I think a big part was the familiarity, and, you know, just knowing so much about the city from being here as a visitor. So we just thought it was a great play for us to settle in.
Was there much difference between playing in Pittsburgh and playing in Vancouver?
Playing wise, like the hockey.
Well, and just, I mean, like, fans are passionate in Pittsburgh, but fans are passionate in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I mean, so is there a difference for you when you put on the sweater?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the history here, like, you know, with a lot of Swedes that were here before, you know, you have the Twins that are still very much a part of our everyday life and stuff like that. You hear stories from Red and the equipment guys about different Swedes that have come and gone here.
Sure.
You know, Pittsburgh with the leadership with us there, and how much recent they have won, and been kind of a dynasty, if you say, for a few years there. And but like I said, like Pittsburgh, very, very working class. You know, they love their sports team. And here, you know, you got the Whitecaps, but I think the Canucks with the Canadian market and hockey, it's a different beast, I think. And you feel that bringing on the sweater and the energy in the building each night, I think speaks for itself. I think I've always seen, you know, when you look at throughout the years, if it's been a couple of rough years here, the fans have always been passionate. And I think a couple of years ago, when I looked at highlights and just videos from Vancouver, being in that playoff series against, well, first Nashville winning that, and then Edmonton, I think a lot of guys got a taste for how it can be here when you're in a deep playoff run, and how much the city gets behind you. I think it's a big, you know, you want to get to that again.
Last question to you, Landon.
Just looking forward at the next few games, and you know, you had your practice today. I'm sure you guys have had some meetings. Like the last few games, to me, they're, you know, whether they're the breakdowns or the goals against, like they seem like they're pretty easy fixes, and meaning that in a good way, that just a little bit of tightening up can shift that around. Do you feel like through the last couple of days getting ready for Dallas here that you guys are feeling good and kind of back on track in the sense of getting back to your game?
Yeah, like I said, today was a big day for us, both like talking about stuff and having a sit down and having some meetings and go through video and stuff like that. But then getting a nice long practice where you iron out those wrinkles. So yeah, looking forward, I think, like you said, they are fixes that we brought those mistakes on ourselves, and that's nice knowing that how would we get better? We fix those mistakes. But easier said than done. We got another good team in Dallas coming in. I just think that the quantity of shots and looks that we give up, if we tighten that up, then we're going to be in good shape.
Marcus, we appreciate the time.
All right, John, Lando, thank you.
All right, that's Marcus Pettersson, or as we call him now, call him Marcus.
Yeah, there you go.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it, and enjoy.
Welcome back to the podcast. Landon and John, joined by Victor Mancini of the Canucks. I'm going to say Canucks because, you know, Victor's kind of like been a yo-yo bouncing back between Abbotsford and Vancouver. So I'm just going to say Canucks. How's that, Victor?
Yeah, works for me.
Okay. How's your health, by the way?
It's good. Fully healthy. Played a couple games in Abbotsford last weekend. All felt well. So, yeah, can't complain.
So I've got to ask you, before we get into the details of your life, how the heck did you end up in Sweden playing junior hockey?
Yeah, long story short, just some connections that my dad had in the hockey world with my head coach over there, Tobias Johansson. He's worked alongside my dad for years, kind of saw me grow up playing hockey in Michigan. And I was lucky enough for him to offer me a spot on the under-20 team in Frölunda. And it's one of the best decisions I ever made. Really enjoyed it there.
I was going to say, how would you rate that whole experience going over, quite frankly, as a teenager to a foreign country?
Yeah, it's hard to put into words to describe it all, but just the life experience on top of hockey was so much fun. I think going over there and the Frölunda organization, how good they are at developing hockey players and what they do on and off the ice to make pros. It was so good for me. And to, you know, I pride myself in being someone who loves the game so much, always wanting to get better. Like, people who go to that organization with that mindset, I feel like really thrive. And even on top of that too, like, my mom was always with me there, you know, being so young as a teenager. My dad, when he wasn't working, he was there. So having that support system as well was, you know, also made it pretty comfortable as well.
No, like, that's getting out of your comfort zone pretty good going over at that age, even with your mom going with you. Do you think that helped you as you went into Nebraska, Omaha for your college? Like, did it help you kind of be able to push through that a little bit and take away a bit of that learning curve of changing scenery?
Yeah, I think so. Especially going to Sweden and at Omaha, I didn't know anyone in Sweden. I think I knew maybe one or two players going into Omaha. So I think kind of getting there with new teammates, new guys that you want to get to know, and being able to kind of be thrown into the fire, but, you know, learn quickly, get to know everyone, see what things are about. I think that definitely helped.
It is fascinating to see the guys that were on that team in Sweden. When you look at Lucas Raymond was on the team. Elmer Soderblom was on the team. There was a few guys that you're going to cross paths with in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of really good players, a lot of draft picks on the team. Every practice was a grind, you know, going up against those guys. And that's just another aspect of what made that experience so great for me.
Now, you've always, from what I've seen since, you know, you've gotten traded over to Vancouver, is obviously your skating ability, your edge work, and just how powerful you are. Have you always been a good skater, or is that something that's come with age and a lot of work?
It was definitely a lot of work, for sure. I was always kind of the big, lanky kid growing up. My feet were too big. I was just kind of tripping over them. So really growing up, that was kind of my knock in my game, was like my skating. I worked really closely with my skating instructor, Marcy Kierpeck. She's awesome. One-on-one sessions for years. And, it's pretty cool to see how far it's come along, because now that's one of the things people first talk about. Right. So, I think that's pretty cool to myself, you know, seeing how the progress.
It must be important for you too. Like, as you said, like, now that's the first thing that people kind of point out about you. That's got to be a good boost as you're just learning, you know, at that time, your body and kind of maturing, and to have something you've put a lot of time and effort into turn into one of your strengths. Does that kind of drive you as days, not that you had a long summer this past summer, but when the days get long a bit, that you know that the work does pay off?
Yeah, for sure. It gives me confidence, for sure. Just that mindset, knowing, especially the work that I've been doing and continue to do, I do feel like, you know, you can never be too good of a skater. You know, that it's going to pay off, especially at these highest levels, right? How fast the game is. It's definitely an asset, for sure.
Landon referred to not having much time off. How would you describe your Abbotsford Calder Cup journey?
It was amazing. I think when you talk about time off, right, it was worth it. I always say that, for sure. Everyone's like, oh, you had a short summer, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I'm like, I don't care. You know, it was worth it for me. Just the experience that I got playing those meaningful games, that playoff hockey, and then doing it with a great group of guys. Like, I always talk about that. I've said it a million times, like, the teams that are closest off the ice go the farthest on the ice. And I really think that was the case in Abbotsford, just how much fun we had doing it all together and kind of embracing that grind. So it's something I look back on with a lot of great memories.
It wasn't as if your season was going to start that way when you consider you are a Ranger prospect and playing in Hartford. What did you think of the trade? Did you welcome it, or were you one of those guys? You're not Canadian, you're American. Being traded to a Canadian team, what did it mean to you?
Yeah, I kind of went through all the emotions going through the trade, starting off, you know, just surprised and just kind of, there's a lot of unknowns, right? I, being from Michigan, you know, I only knew like a few things about Vancouver. I knew it was a great hockey city, playing in a Canadian market, right? I think is something really special. So a little confusion, but once, you know, talking to Alvin and getting to Vancouver and kind of getting to know the city and the teammates, the guys, the people that work here in the organization. And we have some really special staff players, just made me feel at home right away. And, you know, that kind of surprise and uncertainty, it really turns to excitedness and just kind of anxiousness that you want to get out there and play well for your new team.
Going into camp last year, what was your mindset going in? Did you think you had a realistic chance of making the opening night roster, or were you just going in and kind of hoping for the best as a young guy?
I've talked about it a little bit before. My mindset going in, I talk a lot like my rookie year, kind of just be a sponge, like learn as much as I can, right? My first year pro, trying to take in everything, gain as much information as I could. But going to camp, another big thing for me was I wasn't going to put myself in a box. I didn't really want to worry about where I was on depth charts or anything or plans, like whatever. I just wanted to go, you know, be a good teammate off the ice, work as hard as I can on the ice, just knowing that if I go and I play my game, that, you know, I don't have to worry about anything else, right? And I didn't really want to put any expectations on myself.
You remember your first NHL goal?
I do. Yeah. I actually had one called back against Utah. We were in MSG and I thought I scored. I had parents, grandparents there, and looking back, just kind of a funny story, but I think it all, you know, I think it happened for all the right reasons, right? Because then my actual first goal was in Michigan again in front of family. And so to do it against the Wings was pretty special.
So you remember the goalie?
Cam Talbot.
I don't know. We'll have to figure out. We'll got.
I like how you said it with a guess.
I think it was Cam Talbot. I'm not sure. So
you grew up as a Alex, Red Wings fan then?
I did a little bit. Yeah. I know Alex Lyon was one of their goalies, but I don't think he's playing. I think
So when you say a little bit of a Red Wing fan, that means you not necessarily your favorite player was a Red Wing.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, going back to that, growing up with my dad working just so many hockey jobs at different levels throughout hockey. I know growing up, he worked with Edmonton for a while. So I was always kind of like an Edmonton fan, or wherever he was working, I was a fan of. He's from Long Island. So then I was like a little bit of an Islanders fan, you know, always kind of wanting to be like him. But yeah, my mom's from Michigan. I got so many family from Michigan. Growing up in Michigan, I was always a Red Wings fan.
And your favorite player?
That's tough. You know, it's funny. Ryan Kessler was my favorite player for a long time. I was a forward. I wore 17. I think I became a D-man when I was 12, I think. So growing up, I always liked Ryan Kessler, just how hard he worked, how hard he played. But as a defenseman, being able to watch Nicholas Lidstrom in Michigan in those years he was still there, like how just calm and good he was with the puck and never got himself into trouble, like that was really cool.
The first time you were on the ice with like the legit NHL team, not just training camp, what was one of the first things you noticed? And then at the same time off the ice as well. Like for me, it was how much harder all the passes were. And like everything was bulleted to your tape. I was just, compared to the American League, I was kind of blown away at how different that was. What was it for you?
I think how well plays are completed and like passes are made, right? And how much like those kind of little mistakes within the game are just kind of completely eliminated. You know, you put a pass into a guy's skates, like he's catching it, right? Like just those little intricate skills within the game, how good guys are at those and how certain players can, you know, they're good at everything, but how they can find kind of their niche, like within certain skills, whether that's walking the blue line, tipping pucks on net, right? Like I have really great stories, like playing with Kreider, how many pucks he'd tip after practice, and he would just grab me and get me to shoot pucks. And that's another thing too, like how helpful guys are both on and off the ice, getting used to the lifestyle and the travel, but then little tips on the ice, right? Like Kreider's helping me, like where he likes guys to shoot when they're up top of the blue line, right? If it's easier to tip pucks, you know, at this height versus this height, this far away from his body, right? Kind of what he likes, what he sees from down front of the ice. So I thought that was always cool.
So I'm curious. I have friends in the Ranger organization that raved about you and thought you had great potential. So when you got traded, I think a lot of them were surprised. So when you came, I was on record as saying that, you know, Victor Mancini is going to be a difference maker for this club. You ended up playing for the team early this season. So how do you handle emotionally? How do you handle the move back to the American League? What do you go through mentally to make it work?
It can be tough at times for sure, but a lot of times you kind of have to take the emotions out of it almost to make it better. I think at the end of the day, no matter what league I'm playing in, like I know what I'm capable of. I feel confident in my game, but I know I'm still rounding it out at the same time. You know, whether I'm up in the NHL or in the American League, I don't want anything to change with my mindset. You know, I still want to come to the rink with a smile on my face, work hard in practice, get better every single day. And then in the games, you know, not try to be anything that I'm not, not trying to force things, just go and play my game and just kind of control what I can control.
You know, something guys always have to figure out when they turn pro is, it's one thing when you have like your A game, you're feeling good, you know what's going to kind of happen for the most part. But then there's the nights where travel gets to you, or you had a really tough game the night before and you know that you don't have your legs or whatever it may be. Like, what is your A game in your mind? And then what are you working towards for your B game to make it as close as possible? If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I like what you said there too, because that's another thing just in the NHL, right? How consistent it is. And that's a thing for sure. Like, you know, I want to play as good as I can every night, but you never know, things are going to happen, right? And you just want to be as consistent as you can, you know, limit your mistakes. My A game for me, I think it's, you know, when I'm making plays in all zones of the ice, I have my head up. You know, I feel confident with the puck. You know, I'm not throwing pucks away, holding on to them. I have my head up. I'm making plays. And then, you know, what adds to the A game, but also B games, things like you said, I feel like no matter what, I always want to keep my feet moving in the offensive zone, defensive zone, you know, just playing with speed, I think definitely helps.
What's it like to have played beside Adam Fox and Quinn Hughes? When you think about it, two of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League, both American as well, but those are learning lessons, I would assume, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great just in this right year and a half to be able to play with those two guys and just see firsthand the process that they have each day at the rink and with games and, you know, how good they are with the puck and the plays they can make. I think they're both different players, the way they play the game. So I think that was really cool to see just how each player kind of attacks each game.
I would assume you're a little closer to Adam than you are Quinn. Is that fair?
Wait, why'd you say that?
Size.
Oh, size. Yeah, I guess so.
Why? You can tell me I'm wrong. I mean, you're the guy. You're the guy. If you think that I'm full of it, that's fine. I mean, but
I was just wondering why.
Well, no, I mean, to me, it's to me, like what Quinn does with the puck, what Quinn does on the ice for his size is truly amazing. You know, sure. And you're a little heavier and a little taller than Quinn. And mm-hmm. That's why I thought it might be closer to what Adam Fox does.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I was thinking like lefty righty too. Watching, you know, Foxy play on the right side, there's a lot of, you know, things I wanted to pick up too. Again, like going back to those like little intricacies, him, you know, picking pucks off the wall, both in the D zone, maybe like cutting off rims, picking up rims, you know, on the offensive blue line, just kind of how smooth he is right on the right side. I mean, obviously Quinn too, but little things like that, right? Being the righty too. So,
like, your natural instincts on the ice are generally to find offense and find lanes to get yourself in. Again, you're a really good skater. You're powerful. Your first couple steps separate you. What has been the messaging and communication with the coaching staffs, both in Abbotsford and in Vancouver, of, you know, trying to develop the defensive side of the game for you, but not lose those instincts that make you who you are as a player?
Yeah, I think when it all boils down, I think it's kind of not forcing anything and taking what you see. You know, I don't want to force things on the offensive side that get me in trouble on the defensive side of the game. I know that's a big thing that I talk about with the coaches in Abbotsford. You know, I just want to play the game in front of me. I don't need to feel like, oh, I have to do everything and do this and that, right, to make it back up. You know, that I know when I just stick to my game, I play my game, I don't force things, that, you know, I'm playing well. Up in Van to just a lot of talk on the defensive side, just with Coach Dean and watching the players, talking to the other defensemen, just how fast things happen, right? I always want to keep my head on a swivel, make sure I'm playing from the net out, things like that.
I'm also curious, the American League schedule is totally different than the NHL schedule. Do you follow the big club when you're down in Abbotsford? And how can you do it on a regular basis when you guys are a weekend league?
Yeah, by follow, I just like keep up with
they played last night in Anaheim. Yeah. Did you watch?
Unfortunately, I didn't. I couldn't get the game on, but I do keep up with the scores and things like that. If I can watch, I do try. You said, like, with the weekend league, right? Any weekday game you can usually turn on and watch. I'm a big person, like, just to watch hockey, any game that's on, right? I enjoy that. You can always kind of find things or players to watch that you want to emulate. So
what do you do in your downtime?
What
do you do in your downtime, Victor?
Well, when baseball was on, I'm a big baseball guy. So I was watching the World Series. I'm a Mets fan. My dad's New York roots, which is unfortunate right now.
So you enjoyed the playoffs?
Yeah, it's like I enjoyed it as much as I could with them not playing. But I have a soft spot for the Tigers, so it was fun to see the Tigers go on their run. I like to read. I'm an only child, so I'll FaceTime my parents, call my parents, talk to them.
What are you reading?
Well, right now I'm actually reading a baseball book. It's like history of baseball in New York City. It started, I think, like 1800s. The book started, and now I'm like working my way through it. I'm about halfway through. We're kind of getting to like Babe Ruth era stuff, so it's getting pretty interesting for me. Even though I hate the Yankees, but I try to switch it up. I do like a lot of historical books, whether that's fiction or nonfiction. So I try to stick close to that. Gotten into golf a few years ago. Obviously, I don't really golf during the season, but in the summer, that's a big thing in the spare time. And then lastly, I'm actually still in school. I'm enrolled still in the University of Nebraska, Omaha, just doing part-time online classes. So I kind of stack them up in the summer just because I know I have that extra time, but I still stay in a class or two every semester in the fall and the spring. And I'm set to graduate with my bachelor's degree spring 2026.
What, now, was that a promise for your mom that you'd graduate?
It was. Yeah. My mom's a retired school teacher. So really important for her regardless, but she's like, yeah, if you leave early, you better finish your degree. Either you stay with it online or you come back and finish it. So I just decided to, I was already in kind of school mode when I left, and I decided to just kind of stay with it.
What are you getting your degree in?
Business administration with a minor in marketing and management.
So you're going to start holding classes in the dressing room, make sure you guys know what's going on, or
maybe if anyone wants to get into marketing when they retire, I'd be
there.
The guy.
You go.
When you get, you keep signing these NHL contracts and you're dealing in seven figures, you know, you're going to need that business degree. That's the reality of it, right?
Yeah. Hey, you never know. I think it's always important for me too to kind of have that, even when I was still playing pro. Just even if I use it or not, I always think about. I think now in college you have to have a degree to even be a coach. And like college. So even if like that opens up doors in the hockey world too, right? So
yeah.
I remember when Tony Granato took the job at Wisconsin, he had to finish his degree. So there was early 50s guy sitting in all the classes. He had a couple of classes with his players.
Yeah.
Ben, what's on your playlist then?
It changes, I guess. Depending on how I'm feeling. I'm a big country music fan. So I think usually just when I'm kind of chilling out in the car, it's a lot of country, but I'll usually get the BPMs up maybe before games, electronic music, a little rap, but usually I keep it pretty chill.
Yeah. You and John, both those are number one on Spotify playlists every year.
Hey, the Nashville stuff. I'm big. I love that stuff. You know, right now I'm into Post Malone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites. Both. He's got good country stuff. Even the stuff he did before. It's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah. I was actually shocked how good his country stuff was. You know, but I'm old, and I was probably distracted with the tattoos, thinking he couldn't do it. And there you go. Then I started listening.
Well, there you go, John. You could get those tattoos, and you could be just like Post.
Yeah. Can you imagine me with tattoos, Landon?
That would be great. I'd love for you to pop on the screen one time and just have your face all done up.
Well, listen, Victor, we know you're going to be back with the big club sooner than later, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
And by the way, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Did you get turkey today?
I'm about to. I think in, let me look, about an hour or so, we got a team Thanksgiving dinner. So that'll be fun.
There you go. Nice. Fantastic. I didn't get any, and I don't think Landon did either. So
nope.
We're a little pissed.
Are you guys both Canadian?
Oh, right. Yeah, but that doesn't mean we can have
two. You still celebrate.
Right. Yeah. We can have two Thanksgivings, man.
I lived in the States most of my life. The double meal's good. It's just, like I said to John earlier, I'm not cooking it. So unless someone else does the effort, it's not happening.
Right. You get turkey in October then?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, hopefully. When you get older, your wife doesn't cook as much. Trust me. Thanks again, Victor. Good luck to you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's Victor Mancini. Landon and I'll be back after this.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
So we heard from two defensemen, Pettersson and Mancini. And I really do believe Mancini will be up sooner than later, Landon, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If he didn't have his injury, he'd still be in the Canucks lineup.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was doing really good, and it's not easy to find guys of his size and stature on the ice that can also get around the ice like he does. He's a really powerful skater.
Tell you what, I was really impressed. I say this, guys doing these types of interviews oftentimes just glaze over because they hear the same questions all the time. Victor actually listened to the questions,
yeah,
and was very conscientious. And it was cool. I really enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy when you suggested that I should get tattoos on my face, but that's another story. Well,
you said you love Post Malone.
I do. Right? I do like Post Malone. So, I mean,
like, you could go all for it. I think you could pull it off.
Yeah, well.
Post loves wearing a quarter zip, so you already got it working.
Yeah, well, I also have less forehead to put the tattoos on than you do, so it's
true. I got a lot of coverage. See, like, who knows what I come back with next season?
By the way, you talked about Mancini and his injury. Demko down, now Lankinen down. We're on goaltenders 3 and 4 in Vancouver. How are they going to survive this, or can they survive it?
Well, I think that kind of depends what your definition of surviving it is.
Well, you have to win some games.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Tolopilo goes in last night and makes 37 of 41, I think it was, saves. And you know, he's a guy that honestly kind of got lost in the shuffle here in Vancouver last year because of how well Lankinen did. And then you had Shelovs go through his playoff run, and Tolopilo was just kind of that other guy that was there along with Yuri Patera. And I remember talking to Justin Pogge through that playoff run in Abbotsford. I played 4 years with him, and he's the goalie coach in Abbotsford. And he was talking about, you know, we were talking about Shelovs and Demko and kind of going through the goalies. And he made sure to make sure to add in, you know, we haven't even talked about Tolopilo yet. Right. And he is very good. He's a really tall guy. He takes up a lot of the net. And just like a lot of young, big goalies, there's a lot of holes. And while they're trying to find their positioning and how, you know, really trying to tighten in their technique and everything, pucks can find a way through because they're like, their limbs are just so long. Well, Pogge's worked with him a ton, and he talked about how much of a, like, a good guy, but a really hard worker, loves being at the rink, loves putting the work in. And he said, he's like, he's put in the work this past year. And last night you saw what that work can do. You know, I thought he looked a lot calmer in the net. He looked like sure and confident of himself and was able to make some really good saves. So once you've traded Shelovs away to Pittsburgh and he's got off to a good start there because you knew he wasn't going to,
he wouldn't have cleared waivers.
And he wouldn't have cleared waivers. But to know that you have Tolopilo there that was just coming off a groin injury of his own, steps right back into an NHL game and puts up a really, really good game against a team in Anaheim that has a lot of skill, is really fast. Like, that's a tough game to get chucked into on the road.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, but Tolopilo over Patera?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will have another edition of 100% Canucks this weekend. Matt Cook, who's coaching in the BC Junior League, was a fan favorite in Vancouver, will join us, and we'll have some thoughts on the California excursion of the big club. For Landon, I'm John. Thanks for listening and watching this edition of 100% Canucks.